can get the groundwork laid in the breakthrough, we think we are in reasonably good shape. Our program for natural beauty and conservation will cost us a few hundred billion. But we're dividing our $6 billion roughly up, $1.5 billion for poverty and $1.5 billion for education, about $1 billion for health and related items. We got a good Social Security pumping in. Then we have our conservation, our dams, our public works. We got $400 million for ARA and accelerate public works. That's about our approach as the moment. We're going to watch it very carefully. We're talking to business and asking them to try to watch these young people and see if they can't take some of them in and train them. We're making concerted efforts there. Our big problem, though, is going to be whether I can get the ball team roaring with my medical care and with my health benefits and with my education and with my immigration. If I can get that ball team rolling, we'll make about 3 or 4 touchdowns. I can go on and make 8. If they defeat me on the first or second one,
right,
I may get called. So I'm
That's why the timing is very important.
Well, I've got...
How much progress did you make with meeting the fellows on that? You know, I've been saying, you and I agree...
Yes, sir, not a bit, Walter, not a bit. They were mean, and they were tough, and they were arrogant, and they disappointed me. I just wanted to cry. I'm a compassionate fella, and I believe in justice, but they just came in and roared. They said, first of all, we want you to know we elected you. And we elected you by ourselves, and we did all this and so forth. I knew they played an important part, and I knew they'd have been playing it to whoever had been the nominee. If Jimmy Burns had been running, they'd rather had him in Goldwater. But that didn't appeal to me. Then the second thing they told me was that this is the only thing they was interested in. They had to have 14B. In the 2.5 hour meeting, they never mentioned medical care. They never mentioned education. They never mentioned poverty. They never mentioned pay raise for federal employees. They never mentioned the research and the heart and the cancer and the stroke items. So when it came my time to talk, I said, now, gentlemen, I'm amazed that you'd come in here and tell me what I've got to do with my program. I'm the president, I have responsibility, and I want to work with you, and I respect you, and I need your help, and I think I'll get it. But I'm not going to let any man, any group of men come in and say this is what must take place this way that I take responsibility for. Now, here's my idea. 14B affects the leadership of the unions, and I realize that it would be a great benefit to you in organizing, and it'd be a great benefit to your unions. I committed to it in 1960. I committed to it in 1964. I keep my commitments. Nobody ever charged Lyndon Johnson with squelching the slightest. I went on those platforms, and I'm going to recommend to the Congress that repeal 14B. And when I do, I'm going to put my stack in on it. But I'm not going to put a few men in this room's interest ahead of 70 million workers in this country and the people that need medical care. That's first on my list. I want you to know it. Unemployment compensation is second on my list. I want you to know that. I want to extend it. I want to increase it. I want to modernize it. And it means a hell of a lot more to people than your 14B does. Education is third on my list. I want you to know that in a big way. Immigration is fourth. Appalachia is fifth. And I'm going to bring up 14B this year. I'm not going to agree to commit to you that I'll recommend it in a message. But I'm going to say that I'll support my platform. And I was just as tough and hard as I knew how to be. And Meany turned and looked at me and said, well, I'm not going to fight with you. They went out and they gave out big interviews about 14B. All it did was organize all the NAMs in the United States. I went to Texas that week and I had 40 calls and they ran 2 full-page ads in every paper in the state. The governor called me up and said, I want you to know that you won't get a vote in the Texas delegation, 14B. What I had hoped was we'd keep it a little in the background, pass these other things, and then make a long pass over end in the last 5 minutes and win the ball game. That's what I'd hoped. They've made it the primary, the principal issue. I would doubt they'll even have the votes. But anyway, I'm hoping it's not going to come up until I can get some strength on these other things. In the meantime, they've been cooperative, and we haven't had any mean, ugly words. We had a straight talk. I didn't quote you one way or the other. I just gave my opinion. I didn't do it harshly. I did it like I talked to my mother. And I think it I think it felt all right. I think B. Miller was the source of the trouble, and he had gone around and told the labor columnists like Herlong and others that they were going to force Johnson's hand, and if they didn't, they'd withdraw their support of Johnson. Well, it's not going to hurt me if they withdraw the support. It's just going to hurt their members, because I symbolize what's good for their people. And I'm the instrument by which they obtain good. And if they destroy me, they just destroy their program and so forth. So we left it at that. Now, Wirtz and Meany got off on a very bad thing. It distresses me a great deal. Wirtz came in and in a nice, quiet way said, I have a little problem. Said, I have a heavy administrative problem, and said, Hennings is not able to carry his load. I don't want to say that publicly. I don't want to say it even privately. I just want to say it to the president of the AFL and the president of the United States. But said, I've got to have a man can carry these things. I've got the dock workers, and I've got the manpower development, and I've got the poverty, and I've got the Congress, and I just cannot do it with a man that said, I gave him a retraining program, involved several hundred million. Said it stayed on his desk 4 months and it wasn't moved. So I've got to do something about this, and I want y'all's recommendations, and I know it's the president's decision. He'll appoint whoever he wants to in his under cabinet. That's his thing. But I'd like for it to be somebody I can work with. I'd like for it to be somebody that's friendly to labor. Meany said, well, I didn't know that. And about that time, the phone rang, and I had to answer the phone as Mike Mansfield called me. When I got off, Secretary of Commerce had walked in the room, so they didn't talk about it anymore. That afternoon, Meany called Ian Hennings and told him what had happened, and they started pouring in the wires, saying that this couldn't happen. Then they called in the press and jumped on Wirtz and said that Wirtz was trying to fire a man that Meany had represented, and they considered it, considered it a personal insult. And if Johnson went along with Meany, went along with Wirtz, the labor movement would withdraw from Johnson. So they ran those columns and articles around for 2 or 3 or 4 days, and Arthur Goldberg went in and talked to both of them and said, get this out of the paper, and let's put it on the back burner, and we'll get along some way with Hennings for the moment, and let's get our stuff up to Congress, and we can work it out a little later. Wirtz said, well, why don't we put Hennings on the National Labor Relations Board? He can work with 7 board members as an administrator. And they said that, and it pays $28.5. It pays him more than he gets now. They said, hell no, this is an issue that involves Meany personally and B. Miller personally, and we can't do it. Now, it's right there, and Wirtz is a very ticklish situation. He's not, his self-respect is at question. He's shy about it, but I don't think he's going to take it too long. I have not talked to either one of them about it. I would have thought that what would have happened was that if they would put Hennings as an ambassador to Norway or something with a good 30,000 job, that we could have said to the AFL-CIO, bring us the best administrator you've got in here that can help on this retraining and these jobs and this unemployment and things that you've got. And I would name whoever they could all get together on. But they want this man, and they've got Pat Brown calling from California and different ones saying Wirtz is no good. Now, that's about where we are, and I don't know what to do about it. Goldberg says just let's let it drive for a few weeks and see if it can't handle it a little later. I hope Wirtz doesn't walk in some morning and blow up, but he's liable to. Now, what...
I'll get a hold of Willard on the phone and see if I can also help on that. I mean, see, they make the mistake, Mr. President, making these things matters of personal prestige, but they ought to be handled as a matter of how do we go about doing the work that we've got to do.
Yeah.
If Hennings can't do this job, then the labor movement ought to come up with somebody who can.
That's exactly, that's the answer. And I just want, I don't know, Hennings don't care. I'm for Hennings or whoever can do the job, just so he's honest and just so they like him. And And I don't tell Wirtz I've talked to you, but I think you ought to say you read in the paper, and the labor movement must not become divided, and we got to get our program through this first 8 months, and then we can fight about anything. And let's just don't get them divided. I don't give a damn who has a ticky job. I just want somebody that's competent.
That's right. The job has to be done. That's right.
I am.
Let me just break in a minute. On your question of your overall program, as I told you earlier, when you put Medicare and poverty and education and immigration and Appalachian, these are the top priorities. That's exactly what you ought to be doing. And let the couple of labor bosses, let them grumble a little bit, because the damn thing they can do about it, what's good for this country is good for the American labor movement.
Of course, that's right.
And you just go right ahead. Now, I think every effort down the road has to be made to carry out the party's commitment on 14B, but it has to come in its proper sequence in relationship to the overall program.
I put that in my message. I went ahead and without promising them to do it, I recommended my State of the Union, 14B.
That's right.
So I kept my word, and I'm going to keep it, but I'm going to keep these other things first.
Exactly. Now, let me raise one other thing. I was going to be in touch with you. On your excise taxes, I was told that you're going to try to get those down roughly about $3 billion.
No, right? About half that.
About one and a half?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's just going to include a few handbags and cosmetics and a few minor items like that. Doesn't touch your automobiles, doesn't touch your communications, things like that.
Well, I had an idea, and I'm going to send you a note on it just for your background. See, I think at the point we move on the automotive industry, I think you ought to tie together that the first reduction in the excise taxes ought to be diverted to putting into every new car this anti-air pollution.
We've got a group studying that, and we think there's a good deal of merit in that. And when you...
polluting the air the way we are with, 80 million cars, we're going to have an impossible situation.
I agree. I'll call you and we'll talk when you feel more like it. I got to run and decorate Admiral Rick over at 11 o'clock, and it's 11:10, and I'm still at the mansion, and they'll be cussing me for not being over there. But I have enjoyed this very much. I hope I haven't overtaxed you.
No.
I hope you'll keep it confidential. I wish you could, though, some way or other, in visiting with me and in visiting with Wirtz, try to be a good influence for... keeping the spotlight on the things that matter, the things that are important, and that is the people of this country and not some individual job.
Very good. Look, I will not be at the inaugural, but the following week my doctor thinks I can count for a couple of days.
Wonderful. Well, anytime you're here, you're welcome, and I understand it, and I hope you know how I feel.
Very good.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you. Goodbye.